The Golden State Warriors are the 2015 NBA champions. Their first title in 40 years.
For the first time since 1954, the Giants are world champions.
And you tell them one thing, just win, baby.
I'd say it's today's golden days.
Just like the tombs in Egypt, soon as you see it, you'll be speechless. Golden, no job when we slide through. We gon' provide you with something to ride to. Golden, just like the tombs in Egypt, soon as you see it, you'll be speechless. Golden, no job when we slide through. We gon' provide you with something to ride to. Golden, 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 golden.
Bay's Golden Days. I'm Marcus Boucher, and baseball is back. Yes, you heard me correctly. Baseball is back. Spring training is over. Opening day is right around the corner, so that means it is time for the 2018 MLB season preview show right here on the Bay's Golden Days podcast, where we're going to give you a full in-depth breakdown of everything that's been happening in the Bay Area for the baseball world, including the San Francisco Giants dealing with Madison Bumgarner injuries and the rebuilding A's who look to make a splash in the AL West this year. We're going to go ahead and cover each division, give you our division winners, look at the teams who are rebuilding in each division, our top prospects, our top players, our MVP picks, our playoff picks, and even our World Series picks. I'm telling you, this podcast has it all for everything you need to know about the 2018 MLB season. But being that this is the Bay's Golden Days, let's not waste any more time and kick it off in the Bay Area. And since the San Francisco Giants took 2 out of 3 this spring training from the A's, they officially have possession of the Battle of the Bridge. So we're going to go ahead and kick it off in San Francisco with the Los Gigantes.
Driven to center. Jay's going after it. He's not going to get it. And this game is over.
Like a good novel, baseball tells a story. We root for our heroes through their successes and struggles. Each season is another chapter, and this chapter is not yet complete. But as we search forward, one goal in mind, we remain focused on the present. We appreciate the journey, and we stand together as a team, as a city, as a community.
Yeah, man.
We are SF. We are Giants. We are United.
That's right. It's a new year, a new season, and a new chance for the San Francisco Giants to try to return to some of that even year magic, because in 2017, it was a disgrace. The San Francisco Giants finished 64-98. And like I said, this year is a new opportunity, a new chance. I'm just hoping that San Francisco gets some new baseballs, because, man, oh, man, how was this Giants team so bad in hitting last year when it was a record year for home runs in the Major League? The most home runs hit ever in a single season was 2017. Yes, you want to go back to the steroid era, the juice ball era, whatever you want to call it now, it doesn't matter. Everybody in the MLB is hitting home runs, except for the San Francisco Giants. In 2017, they were bottom three in home runs. They were 29th overall hitting as a team. But hey, they bring in a few new pieces to try to change that up just a little bit. We'll see if they can leave the park a couple times, bringing in big free agent signings. Andrew McCutchen, the face of the franchise for the Pittsburgh Pirates. Oh, man, this is exciting. And then you want to talk about Evan Longoria. This is some even year magic for you. If the year was 2010, I mean, I like these pickups. I think McCutchen played well last year, bouncing back after being moved around in that Pittsburgh Pirates outfield. I think he's going to come over with a chip on his shoulder. I'm not going to say he's going to be Barry Bonds 2.0 from going from the Pirates to the Giants, unless Big Barry's got some sauce for him to take, because Barry's going to be getting his number retired this year. That's one game I'll make sure I won't show up for. But for the rest of the Giants, they just want to get back to a winning record. They're bringing in McCutchen. They're bringing in Longoria. They're bringing in Austin Jackson, trying to bring in some bats, trying to fix his outfield, trying to do whatever they can to get back into that winning record, get back into that even year magic. But the magic has not been so hot for the San Francisco Giants to start off the 2018 injury, because before the season even started, in one of the final spring training games, yes, against the Kansas City Royals just the other day, Madison Bumgarner is hurt once again. Yes, the Mad Bum, the man who single-handedly put the team on his back for the Giants to win their last World Series team, the man who started games, the man who closed games, the man who is, honestly, right next to Buster Posey, the face of this franchise. Madison Bumgarner, one of the top three pitchers in the game. He took a line drive off of his hand, broke his pinky knuckle on his throwing hand, so he's going to miss probably the first 10 weeks of the season. And man, oh man, things are looking down from the start from the San Francisco Giants. They lost Madison Bumgarner last year to a motorcycle accident. Hell, it wasn't even a real motorcycle. It was a dirt bike accident. This guy couldn't even keep off his dirt bike for the whole season. Now he gets back, he gets healthy. The Giants are adding pieces, and everybody thinks we're back on the trajectory back towards the even year magic. Well, nope, that got shut down real quick, because as soon as Bumgarner got hurt, Jeff Schemarza got hurt. And then you want to talk about more injuries? Mark Melancon, the big pickup closer you got last year, he's still hurt. He's still not ready for the regular season. There are going to be way too many question marks for this San Francisco Giants team. Like I said, only won 64 games last year. Vegas has set their over-under for 81.5 wins. Before Madison Bumgarner got hurt, I was trending towards direction of, hey, the Giants could potentially be a playoff team. I could see them sneaking into the wild card. But now, with this news of Madison Bumgarner, with Schemarza hurt, you're going to have Johnny Cueto step up as the ace. He didn't have too good of a year last year. You're going to have Ty Block on opening day going head-to-head with Clayton Kershaw. Yeah, we all know who has the advantage in that one. Chris Stratton was a former first-round pick. He'll be in the rotation now. I'm thinking the Giants might have to go out and pick up another arm. Scott Kazmir was a guy who just got cut by the Braves the other day. And then there's always the man, the myth, the legend, Bartolo Colon. Yes, if you need some innings eaten up, literally eaten up, call in Bartolo Colon, because, hey, like I said, the Giants got plenty of problems with this rotation, with this bullpen. They've had bullpen problems for the last 6-7 years. Even when they were winning the World Series, they didn't have the greatest bullpen. We all know what Sergio Romo's up to these days. Brian Wilson's not even in the league. But I really do think the Giants will go out, pick up another arm, maybe promote one of the top prospects. We know Tyler Beattie's still down there in AAA for the San Jose Giants. It might be interesting if they pull him up. But man, oh man, the Giants are a team that are known to be the strength through their pitching staff. Maybe you go out and pull off a big trade for Chris Archer. That's going to cost you a couple prospects. The Giants do have a few prospects I will be keeping an eye on this year. Steven Dugar played great in spring training this year. I thought he was going to be a starting center fielder. If not, he would actually be platooning with Austin Jackson. It looks like they're sending him back down to AAA to start the year, but I'm sure he'll be up at least a few months into the season. There's also Helio Ramos, another outfielder, and then Chris Shaw, who could play outfield and then mix up at first base also. They've got some young talent that they could trade to go after an arm like Chris Archer, like I said, but it's going to be interesting to see if the Giants can even score, because like I said, they were 29th overall in hitting last year, bottom three in home runs. Of course, adding Andrew McCutchen and Evan Longoria are great pickups. If it was 5 years ago, we'll see what they still got. Andrew McCutchen did play great last year after slumping. Evan Longoria has been dealing with some injuries. But you got two faces of the franchises added to your roster now. We got Longoria probably going to be hitting five. McCutchen probably hitting three. You get protection in front and behind of Buster Posey, because you can't have Brandon Belt hitting the 4-5 hole. You can't have him protecting Buster Posey. Brandon Belt will probably be moved up to the 2 hole now. Maybe Joe Panik will lead off. Brandon Crawford, they could switch it up. Platoon versus lefty-righty. I think this is a Giants lineup that is actually going to have to hit a little bit more than they've been used to. But like I said, they now got the players, they now got the weapons, and the biggest question mark for the Giants is pitching. That's not what you think about when you think about the SF Giants, is having to think about pitching, but that's where it all comes down to. Madison Bumgarner, I think once he comes back, I think he'll be fine. I think he will return to that Cy Young candidacy, but until then, it's going to be a struggle for the Giants. Like I said, Vegas has them at over under 81.5 wins. I thought they could potentially be a wild card team, potentially sneak in there in the playoffs. Now, with this Bumgarner injury, I am a little bit more down on the Giants, but I think they still get more than 81 wins, and more than 80 wins, if you're around 85, that gets you a chance to be a wild card team. I think the Giants might have a possibility to sneak in as that second wild card team, but hey, like I said, they got to figure out their pitching concerns. They got to figure out their bullpen concerns. They got to deal with all these injuries. I'm looking for the San Francisco Giants
to not hit any more splash hits, to go make a splash landing in the trade market, add Chris Archer, add a big piece, because you only got Buster Posey and Madison Bumgarner for so long. You're in a period of winning now. We all know that the Giants won 3 World Series in the past 10 years, 2010, 2012, 2014. Where the hell is everything else happening at? Where's the playoff appearances? We know Bruce Bochy's a one hell of a coach, but he's really got to put it together, and he's got his hands full, just kicked off the 2018 season for the San Francisco Giants. But hey, like I said, at least they beat the A's 2 out of 3 in the preseason to start off the year, so the Giants will have bragging rights in the Bay Area until the two teams meet for the Battle of the Bridge later this summer. But let's go ahead and talk about the team on the other side of the bridge and cross the waters into Oakland now and talk about them Oakland Athletics.
What a beautiful day here at the Oakland Coliseum. Homer's back with a new season with the A's, and it looks like we've got some tension on the mound, Bob.
You said it, Jim. It's getting downright ugly out there, and I mean ugly. A's at bat, top of the ninth, and just listen to that crowd. Here comes the pitch. Holy Toledo!
Holy Toledo, the Oakland A's are back for another season in the AL West. They will try to bounce back from coming in last place in the AL West. But I want to put a little asterisk next to their name, last place, because they did finish with a 75-87 record. But hear this, the Oakland A's went 17-7 with a plus 33 run differential to close out the 2017 season. That was tied for baseball's second best record during that span. So I'm telling you right here on the Bay's Golden Days podcast, watch out for the Oakland A's. They could be one of the surprise teams this year because Lou Wolf is finally gone. If you're a diehard Oakland A's fan, you know Lou Wolf, or maybe you don't even know Lou Wolf. Lou Wolf was the cheapest owner of all of baseball, who refused to spend a dime on his team, who would trade away all of his prospects, who goddamn is getting rid of the Raiders now, but he is finally gone. That piece of junk, Lou Wolf, is being evicted from the Coliseum, and now Dave Cavill has been changing the culture of the team. This was the former president of the San Jose Earthquakes. Now he is the president of the Oakland A's, and as much as I want to talk shit about the A's forcing the Oakland Raiders out of Oakland like I have many times on the NFL podcast earlier this year, I'm going to actually commend Dave Cavill for changing the culture. We've all seen the movement, hashtag rooted in Oakland. At the end of this year, or next year possibly, they're going to be the only team still in Oakland. We know the Warriors are moving across the Bay to SF. The Raiders are sadly moving to Las Vegas. But Dave Cavill, to his credit, is actually trying to build a fan base in Oakland. He wants to stay in Oakland. He wants to rebuild on the Coliseum site. Finally, once the Raiders are gone, how conveniently. But he wants to stay in Oakland. We've already seen all the campaigns he's done where you can show up to an A's game wearing a Giants hat and you can trade it in for a brand new A's hat. We saw earlier in spring training this year, Dave Cavill said, parking for A's fans, $30. Parking for Giants fans, $50. Well, I don't care about the pettiness back and forth, but you shouldn't be charging $30 or $50. You can get damn near tickets for $1.85 to an Oakland A's game. Yes, they bring back the season pass, so for $30 a month, you can go to 81 home games. Yes, that's $1.85 per game. I checked out the math. This was another idea by Dave Cavill that came out last year. It was only $20 last year. They bumped it up to $30 this year. They're building a new treehouse theme park in center field. Whatever the hell that is. Got to tip your hat to Dave Cavill for actually trying to change the culture, bringing in food trucks, bringing in new fans, bringing in the Rooted in Oakland campaign to try to prove to the city of Oakland that, hey, they can actually be a viable franchise and keep one team at least. But enough with the politics. Let's talk about the actual team, because like I said, they came in last place last year, but they were actually ranked 4th overall by home runs for a team. We want to talk about how bad the Giants were last year and how they couldn't leave the ballpark at all. Well, the A's were also a last place team, but at least they could hit the long ball. They got the new case of balls, and I guess they didn't send it over across the bridge because, like I said, the Giants, they need some new baseballs. They need to get some of those Titan baseballs, the juiced up baseballs, because, man, oh, man, it doesn't make sense how everybody in the MLB is hitting more home runs except for the San Francisco Giants, but we already talked about them. So let's talk about who's hitting all these home runs for the Oakland A's, and that is the original KD. Yes, I call him the OG KD.
Not Kevin Durant, for all you bandwagon fans. That is Chris Davis. Chris Davis has been killing the ball for the A's the past couple seasons. He's a guy who I can see hitting 40-plus bombs this year. He just needs to bump his average up a little bit because it seems like the past 3 years he has hit 247, 247, 247. So if he can be more consistent, I think he will be one of the future all-stars in the league. And hopefully the A's will start keeping their all-stars now instead of trading all their prospects. But they do have a couple young prospects as well. Matt Olson and Matt Chapman. You want to call Matt Squared, powered by Matt, whatever you want to talk about. Matt Olson at first base, Matt Chapman at third base are the two corner pieces, I think, for the Oakland A's while they're rebuilding. And then they made a move to bring in some more offensive weapons, bringing back Stephen Piscotty back to the Bay Area. Brandon Moss is back with the A's. Dustin Fowler, who was in that trade from the Yankees, will be starting at center field for the Oakland A's this year. I think that's a real good pickup for him after trading Sonny Gray. They also bring in Jorge Mateo, who's a top prospect, and they got help on the way, like I mentioned, with Matt Olson and Matt Chapman. They've got more and more talent with Jorge Mateo and Dustin Fowler in that Sonny Gray trade. Franklin Barreto is probably their top shortstop. They might move Jorge Mateo to second or even maybe to outfield because Barreto is looking like he is primed for some playing time. But the biggest news that just came out these last couple days in spring training, their top pitching prospect, A.J. Puk, is going to have Tommy John surgery. He does have ligament damage. Dr. Andrews just suggested that he goes the way of the Tommy John surgery, so he should be out for the year. But one starting pitcher I do want to keep my eye on this year for the Oakland A's is Sean Manea, the throwing Samoan. I'm hoping that he makes a jump to ace status this year. He will be starting the second game of the season. I think he's probably the best pitcher on that rotation. And at the end of the day, they need to just keep bringing up prospects, keep playing hard, and hold on to your players because, man, oh, man, we don't want another Josh Donaldson traded for Lowry. We don't want Jonas Cespedes just leaving the franchise for nothing. We want to talk about all these all-stars that used to play for the A's, and now they're on other teams. But as I mentioned, Lou Wolf is gone. That old bag of bones is finally out the door. And Dave Quayval is changing the culture of this team. I don't know if they're trying to do the money ball because they're still not spending that much money on free agency. But I think this year they could be a surprise team. I think that Vegas has them right now at 74.5 games over under. They won 75 last year, so I think they're actually better than they were last year. So I'm going to go ahead and take the over. We'll see if the A's can be a surprise team, knock out some people out of playoff contention, but that is a real, real tough division in that AL West. I think at the end of the day, the A's will look to progress, but they will not be a playoff team. But this might be the year that they start keeping all their prospects, promoting their prospects, and we could see a real good, fun young team playing in Oakland. But enough with the Bay Area. Let's talk about the rest of the MLB. We talked about the NL West a little, the AL West. Let's go ahead and give you a full division breakdown because baseball is back.
This season on baseball, Mike Trout heads to work. Clayton's mad, and he's throwing like it. Giancarlo doesn't care. He's busy contemplating the 600-foot home run. Mookie Betts, the man with the city of Boston resting on his shoulders. Over in Cleveland, Edwin's got big plans. And the boys from Queens are back together and hungry. This season, Cy Young is up for grabs. Jose's eyeing 400. And Bryce Harper's having visions of cold October ball. These boys know the feeling. And everyone else is chasing after it. Ain't that right, Tito? That's this season on baseball.
That's right. It's a brand new season and everybody is trying to chase down the Houston Astros. We just got done talking about the AL West and the NL West. Well, surprise, surprise. Those were the two divisions in the World Series. We had the Houston Astros beating the Los Angeles Dodgers in which was one hell of a World Series. And let's go ahead. Why not start it off with the Houston Astros since they were the World Series champions? We'll go ahead and tackle up the AL West right here. The Houston Astros won 101 games last year. lost 61, and like I said, beat the Los Angeles Dodgers in the World Series. Their over-under this year is set for 96.5 games, and you want to talk about a potent lineup? They're a team that was number one in hits, number one in RBIs, number one in runs, number one in batting average, but number two in home runs. Like I said, last year was the most home runs ever hit in an MLB season. They were number two right behind the Yankees, who they took out in the ALCS, and this is a lineup that's led by Jose Altuve, Carlos Correa, and George Springer, plain and simple. George Springer, the World Series MVP, Carlos Correa, an MVP candidate every year, and we all know Jose Altuve, the actual MVP. You want to talk about a man who could do it all. This is one hell of a lineup, and then you want to add in pieces like Alex Bregman, who is a young up-and-comer playing third base himself. You got pieces in the outfield and all the bats that they just continue to add. You bring in Brian McCann to pair up with Evan Gattis to be on your platoon for catcher. This is a team that has a lot of power, and then on top of the power, they have one of the best pitching rotations in baseball too. Justin Verlander absolutely returned to Cy Young candidacy last year. Lance McCullers is a top pitcher. Dallas Keuchel seems to always deal against the Yankees in the playoffs. Whenever he gets a chance, that big old beard comes out and shuts down anybody he wants. And then they went and added Gerrit Cole. Gerrit Cole was the ace from the Pittsburgh Pirates. Now he joins that rotation. That gives him at least four quality starters. And then they bring in Hector Rondon to try to bulk up that bullpen. I still think that the Houston Astros are the team to beat. A lot of people are pointing to the Yankees and Giancarlo Stanton move. We'll get more on that later. But I think to be the best, you got to beat the best, and you got to knock off the champ to become the champion. So the Houston Astros are definitely the team you got to knock off that top pedestal. And obviously, because they're the World Series champions, and as I mentioned, they got 96.5 games over under provided by Vegas, I'm taking the over. They won 100 games last year. I think they could do the same thing this year, even with a better pitching staff. I'm taking the Houston Astros to win the AL West. In second place, I got the Los Angeles Angels mixing it up with the Seattle Mariners going back and forth, but the Angels truly were one of the biggest stories in baseball this offseason. They ended last year with a record of 80-82. Their over-under is set at 84.5, and a lot of people are taking the over because of the number one prospect in baseball, Shohei Ohtani. Yes, Ohtani, the quote-unquote Japanese Babe Ruth. And let me just stop this right now. Mike Trout is the closest thing to Babe Ruth that the Angels have. Not Shohei Ohtani. Shohei Ohtani has never seen a curveball in his life. What is he hitting, less than 100? You want to go pair him up with Tim Tebow? Maybe they can go work in the batting cages together. And then he's getting raked. He's got like a 13, a 27 ERA. He has been getting raked. So before anybody tries to compare him to Babe Ruth, maybe he can be a Daisuke Matsuzaka first, who wasn't that good. Maybe he could be a Hideki Matsui if he can even swing the bat. But no, that's disrespectful to Hideki Matsui. This guy hasn't done anything. He's no Ichiro. I mean, I don't know what to call him. He's not the Japanese Babe Ruth. Right now, he's looking more like the Japanese Tim Tebow because he's coming with a lot of hype. I know this guy is supposed to be one of the top pitching prospects in baseball. My suggestion would be to just use him as a pitcher only the first year because you want to get him on at least a right track, have him feeling good about some success, maybe pitching, because all the scouting reports is he can't hit a high school curveball. How are you going to come over as a number one prospect? You can't hit a curveball? Man, oh man, this is just one of those batting practice bombers, I guess. This was supposed to be the Japanese Babe Ruth, but like I said, the closest thing they got to Babe Ruth on their team is Michael Trout. Yes, Mike Trout, the man, the myth, the legend, the best player in baseball, number one. I don't care who wants to debate me. I will go in any day of the week. We are Trout and about in the MLB, the number one player, and then you want to talk about everything that he can do, his MVP candidacy. I mean, he's putting up Mickey Mantle numbers, Joe DiMaggio numbers to begin his career, and talking about the number one player in baseball, they finally got him some help. The Angels had a huge offseason besides signing the quote-unquote Japanese Babe Ruth. They added Ian Kinsler at second base. I thought that was a huge pickup. They also went out and got Zach Cozart from the Cincinnati Reds. That's a huge pickup. And they picked up Justin Upton, re-signed him last year while Mike Trout was hurt. So now Upton will be protecting Mike Trout in that lineup. They still got Albert Pujols. The machine can still hit for that average. The power is gone a little bit, but they do have a lot of talent, and they're trying to finally surround all that talent around Mike Trout. The pitching has always been a question mark, but like I said, if Ohtani can turn into a top three rotation guy, then is he worth it? I don't know. All this for the number one prospect in baseball, the Japanese Babe Ruth. I think it was all blown out of the water, but I do think the Angels will be better than they did last year. Like I said, they won 80 games. I think they will go over on that 84.5 wins, and that could potentially be a playoff team, so look out for the Angels in the wild card slot. But I also like the Seattle Mariners in the AL West. They made a lot of moves this offseason also. They finished last year 78-84. They're over under it this year is set at 81.5 games, and they got a lot of question marks. King Felix. Everybody knows King Felix and how dominant he's been for his whole entire career. Last year, he dealt with some arm injuries, was up and down from the IR, back and forth. He is back. He's going to be ready for opening day. So we'll see if King Felix can bounce back. If not, James Paxton is about to take over as the new ace of that rotation. James Paxton is damn near looking like a mini Randy Johnson up there in Seattle. This man can toss it. He can throw the rock, and I'm looking for huge things out of James Paxton this year. As far as the lineup goes, they're going to have a new leadoff hitter for the Seattle Mariners, and that's D. Gordon. Yes, Speedy D. Gordon will not be playing second base because we all know Robbie Cano will be manning down second base. D. Gordon has been moved to center field. Yes, the man has already thrown out a couple guys in spring training, showing off the arm a little bit. Obviously, he's got the speed to have the range to play center field. I think that's going to be a huge table setter for Robinson Cano and Nelson Cruz. I think they both have big numbers with D. Gordon setting the table. Seattle Mariners are one of those teams. I will take them on the over for 81 wins to maybe potentially sneaking as a wild card team. I like this AL West. Like I said, even the A's, when I talked about earlier, they're a top four team in home runs. They can hit the long ball. Everybody in this division can hit the long ball. Hell, even the Texas Rangers, who were 78-84, guess what? They were the number three team in home runs last year. Yes, right in front of the Oakland A's. You had the two worst teams in the AL West were two top five teams in hitting bombs. And a big reason for that on the Texas Rangers is Joey Gallo. Joey Gallo is a guy who can hit 40 bombs every single year. Adrian Beltre, we all know what he can do, getting over 3,000 hits last year. It's going to be a rough year for the Texas Rangers. They tried adding Matt Moore and a couple pieces, but they lost Yu Darvish. They don't really got a pitching staff. They don't got a bullpen. I think they will lose more games than they lose last year. Their over-under is set at 77.5. I'm taking the under. I don't got faith in the Rangers. I think the A's end up with a better record to them, and I see the Rangers coming in last place in that AL West. But let's go ahead and move now from the AL West and finish off that NL West division that we started this whole thing off. We talked about the San Francisco Giants. We got to talk about the team that actually won the NL West last year, and that is the Los Angeles Dodgers, who had a astounding 104-58 record. Yes, they won 104 games, and we all know what happened when they lost in the World Series to the Astros. They were set with an over-under of 96.5. That is a lot, but a team that won over 100 games, it'll be interesting to see how they bounce back, losing Yu Darvish. They lost Curtis Granderson, lost Adrian Gonzalez, lost Scott Kazmir. They lost a lot of pieces, but they are definitely trying to rebuild through the young youth of this franchise. You want to talk about Corey Seager and Cody Bellinger? These are two cornerstone franchise players that are both MVP candidates. I think these guys can really lead the future for this Los Angeles Dodgers for the next 10 years. And then we got Yasiel Puig. Everybody loves them some Yasiel Puig. So the Dodgers are no doubt about it, always one of the funnest teams to watch. And then you want to talk about their pitching staff and Clayton Kershaw. I talked about Madison Bumgarner being a top three pitcher in the league. Well, Clayton Kershaw is number one. Yes, I know the playoffs. What about the playoffs? But Clayton Kershaw in a regular season game, I'm taking over anybody. In the playoffs, I'll probably take Bumgarner. But Clayton Kershaw is the best pitcher on a league on a consistency basis because, hey, he's staying healthy. In the Los Angeles Dodgers last year as a team, they're number two overall in ERA, number one in whip. That's walks and hits per innings pitch. They're number one in K per nine. They got probably the best closer in the league in Kenley Jansen. They had a great bullpen. Brandon Morrow did leave to go to the Cubs, though. But this is a team with a lot of pieces, a lot of talent. They will try to have to struggle earlier because, like I said, with the Giants having injuries, so do the Dodgers. Justin Turner went down with a broken wrist after he got beaned. They did try to bring back Matt Kemp. Maybe he will be batting third, fourth for the Dodgers on opening day. Can you believe it? But probably not. I'll probably hit it farther down a little bit. But Matt Kemp, the return. This is a team that's got a lot of talent, a lot of young prospects. Like I said, losing Yu Darvish and Scott Kazmir, we could see Walker Buehler sooner rather than later. That's their top pitching prospect for the Dodgers. I think that the Dodgers come back win the NL West once again, win more than 96 games, and make it back to the playoffs. We already talked about the Giants. Let's talk about the other two teams that actually made the playoffs last year. Yes, the NL West had three teams who made the playoffs last year, and this was a wild card game between the Arizona Diamondbacks and the Colorado Rockies. The Diamondbacks finished last year with 93-69, ended up losing to the Los Angeles Dodgers in the NLDS. I mean, it seemed like the NL West just wanted their own playoff system last year, but their over-under this year has been set at 85. Damn, that's kind of low for a team that won 93 games last year. Well, a big reason from that, they lost a lot of power. J.D. Martinez signed with the Boston Red Sox. He had, what, 40, 50 bombs last year? That is a lot of power you're going to be missing out of your lineup. That's a big bat to take away from protecting Paul Goldschmidt. Paul Goldschmidt is easily one of the biggest underrated players in the league. He's an MVP candidate every single year. The man can straight rake. He can field. He can steal bags. He can do everything from the first base position. But they don't really have a lot of big bats outside of that. Jake Lamb stepped up last year, played pretty well. But who is going to be the big spark provider? Who's going to be hitting all the bombs? Who's going to replace the 40, 50 bombs that J.D. Martinez hit last year? I don't know. We saw Zach Greinke was able to bounce back last year and get back to some of that Cy Young form. Robbie Ray is a potential ace. Potential, it means potentially what game he's going to show up to, because he can show up and strike out nine people. He can show up and get hit. The Arizona Diamondbacks, I think they do not do as well as last year, but 85 wins, that's tough. I might have them right around 80. This whole entire NL West with the Giants, Rockies, Dodgers, I think it's going to be a parity league, so I could see a lot of teams ending in the low 80s. So for that reason, I will say the Diamondbacks will be under 85, and I do not have them making the playoffs this year. But a team that I think could make the playoffs is the Colorado Rockies, who actually lost to the Diamondbacks in a wild card last year. Yes, they went 87-75, lost in a wild card. Their over-under is set at 82. I don't know how they set it at 82 when they won 87 last year. Plus, they added Wade Davis, added Travis Shaw. They're trying to shore up their bullpen, because that was the biggest piece for them last year, was that bullpen getting hit. They got a couple good pitchers. John Gray is a nice pitcher, younger. And then you want to talk about their studs. Nolan Arenado, Charlie Blackman, that's two MVP candidates on the same team. This was a team last year that went from minus 500 record to in the playoffs, and they did it by being the number two team in hits, the number three team in runs, number four team in RBIs. They can straight rake the ball. They can hit. They did lose a couple bats in Luke Roy and Mark Reynolds, but like I said, they got a lot of talent with a couple young prospects already slated to make the opening day roster. Ryan McMahon, their top prospect, first baseman, who's been tearing it up in spring training this year, has just been announced he will be making an opening day roster. If you're going to bring up a prospect this early instead of saving from his service time, I'm assuming he's going to start playing every single day. So Ryan McMahon is a name to look out for National League Rookie of the Year. But besides that, I think that the Colorado Rockies, if their pitching can stay up to par, they got a chance to sneak in as a wild card also. So I will put the Rockies right up there with the San Francisco Giants as maybe a wild card threat. I know they made the wild card last year, so that might not be too big of a surprise. And then let's finish off this NL West with the San Diego Padres. Yes, the San Diego Dads. They didn't really do anything this last year except for add Eric Hosmer. 8 years, $144 million, which is great. You get to pair Eric Hosmer with an all-star Will Myers, but what else do you have? Nothing. They got a couple prospects. They got a nice shortstop, Tatis, coming up. But besides that, I don't think the Padres are going to win that many games. They're over-under is set at 69.5. They won 71 last year. So by doing some simple boosh math, they got Eric Hosmer. They can't lose two more games with Eric Hosmer. I think they'll be at least one game better. So I'm going to go ahead and take the Padres for over 69.5. But I don't see them making any playoff news at all. Let's go ahead now and move on from the West Coast to Middle America and go straight into the American League Central. We will do this geographically and stop by the Central before we get to the East Coast. Let's start off in the AL Central and start off with the Cleveland Indians, who were one of the teams that went over 100 games last year. They won 102 games, lost 60, but ended up losing the ALDS to the New York Yankees. Their over-under is set this year at 94.5 wins. They were a team that was led by pitching last year. You want to talk about the Cy Young winner, Corey Kluber, right off the back. They were number one in team ERA, number one in strikeouts, number one in pretty much every pitching stat there was, with Trevor Bauer, Carlos Carrasco wrapping up one of the top rotations in baseball. You want to talk about that bullpen, Andrew Miller. They did lose Travis Shaw, but I think they do got enough arms in that bullpen to stay available and stay ready in games. And then you want to talk about their MVP candidates. Jose Ramirez broke out last year, was a top three in the MVP voting. Francisco Lindor is a franchise shortstop. He could be an MVP candidate as well. They did lose one of their big bats in their lineup, Carlos Santana and Jay Bruce. So that's a lot of home runs they're going to try to have to replace. They're going to try to replace them with Yonder Alonso. Yonder, we've all seen him with the A's. We've seen him bounce around with the Mariners. We've seen him bounce around from pretty much from team to team to team. He has been swinging it well in spring training so far, but I don't think he's going to replace the bats of Carlos Santana and Jay Bruce. I think the Cleveland Indians take a skid a little bit. That 94 wins, that's a little high. They did win 102 games last year, but I think that was more streakiness. I still think that they're going to win their division, but that 94.5, that's a little risky because I think this will be a much more competitive division this year. The team that came in second place last year and actually made it to a wild card round, ended up losing to the Yankees, was the Minnesota Twins. They won 85 games last year, lost 77, and their over-under is set at 82.5. This is another instance where the over-under is set lower than the amount of wins they got last year, and I think the Twins will continue to get better and better. They made it a lot of moves this offseason. Byron Buxton has been breaking out ever since he was rated number one prospect in baseball. It's took him a year or two longer than most people thought, but he is turning into an all-star player out there in center field. You want to talk about Miguel Sano, who can turn on any ball and drop 40 home runs a year. He's got some power. Jose Berrios is one of the youngest aces in baseball. He came up last year and absolutely dealt. I'm looking for him to have a huge year this year. And then they added Logan Morrison, added Michael Pineda, who if he bounces back from that injury, wipes all the pine tar off his neck, can actually be a pretty good pitcher. They added Fernando Rodney and Addison Reed to try to shore up that bullpen, but I think the Twins are one of those teams that could get back to the playoffs. They were a fun, intriguing team last year. They did get their shortstop Jorge Polanco suspended for PEDs, but I still think that they do have enough talent, and with Miguel Sano avoiding a suspension, I think, like I said, he'll have 40 plus home runs. I think the Twins will win more than 82 games, and I think they got a potential to be a wild card team. Moving on to the rest of this division, it's really just filled with a bunch of rebuilders. We got the Detroit Tigers, the Kansas City Royals, and the Chicago White Sox. Let me start off with the Kansas City Royals. What the hell is your franchise plan? The Kansas City Royals were a team where I respected for the longest time, and up until they made the World Series and actually won the World Series, I thought they got a young nucleus, they got a young core, and they could stick together forever and have a great team and want to be one of these top teams, kind of like the Houston Astros are doing right now in the AL West. But instead, the Kansas City Royals got rid of Eric Hosmer, got rid of Lorenzo Cain, got rid of Melky Cabrera, got rid of Brandon Moss, somehow kept Mike Moustakas for like $6 million a year or whatever the hell it was. He should have got paid a lot more. But they lost a lot of talent. They won 80 games last year. Their over-under is set at 71. And I don't even know if they'll win that many games this year. They could be one of those teams that only win 68, 69 games. I think the under might be your place to go. They got a top prospect, Eric Skoglund, made his MLB debut last year, so maybe that'll help out the pitching staff. But I don't see much going on from the Royals' perspective. You want to talk about prospects from the pitching perspective? Let's go ahead and stick in that division and go with the Chicago White Sox. They are a rebuilder also. They won 67 games last year, lost 95. So their over-under is set at 68, which means they got to win one more game than they won last year. And I think they might have a chance to do that. Jose Abreu's got the potential to hit 40 plus home runs a year. Yoan Moncada, if he's able to break out, he's one of the top prospects in baseball, being compared to Bo Jackson for the longest time. Lucas Giolito was a top pitching prospect, came from the Washington Nationals over in the trade. I think that he finally puts it together this year. And I mentioned pitching prospects, Michael Kopech, he was a top prospect from the Boston Red Sox in that Chris Sale trade. He throws 100 miles per hour. This guy's got heaters, so I'm excited for when he gets called up to the league. They also got Eloy Jimenez, who's a big utility player. The Chicago White Sox actually has a lot of young talent, but I don't see them getting to the playoffs this year, but I do take them for the over on 68 wins. And to wrap up that division, we got the Detroit Tigers, who finished last year 68-98. Their over-under is at 68.5, so pretty much they got to do worse or better than last year. I think they do worse because they lost Ian Kinsler, lost Anibal Sanchez. Miguel Cabrera is probably my pick for comeback player of the year, though. He had a lot of injuries last year. I think he can bounce back and get back to that Miggy, batting over 300. Hell, maybe he gets back in a triple crown race. I think the power is probably not as good as it once was, but the man can still rake. I think Miggy bounces back. And then while we're talking about top prospects, why not mention Franklin Perez for the Detroit Tigers? He was a key pitcher in that Justin Verlander trade, so they are looking for a future for him. But that is all the rebuilders and the winners from the AL Central. Let's go ahead and move on to the NL Central now. The team who won it was the Chicago Cubs with a record of 92-70. We all know what happened last year when they lost to the Los Angeles Dodgers in the NLCS. Their over-under this year is set at 94.5, so Vegas actually projects them to be better than they were last year, and a big reason for that is this new starting rotation. Yes, I want to say new because they lost Jake Arrieta, which people say, hey, that might be a little bit of a downgrade, but they added Yu Darvish. Okay, well, you know Yu Darvish got raked last year in the World Series pitching for the Dodgers against the Astros, but Yu Darvish is still, if he's on, he's on. He's one of the top pitchers in the game. They also added Tyler Chatwood, and as I mentioned earlier, they're bringing Brandon Morrow from the Dodgers to try to shore up that bullpen. He will probably be inserted as a closer right away. I think him and Carl Edwards Jr. will be great for the back of the bullpen for the Cubs, and as long as they can keep teams from scoring too many runs, they can score with just about anybody in the league. They're top five in RBIs, top five in runs. You want to talk about Chris Bryant and Anthony Rizzo, the Brizzo Souvenir Company. If you want to talk about franchise cornerstone pieces right there, look no further than the Chicago Cubs and all this young talent. I'm sure Derek Jeter is down in Miami taking notes from Theo Epstein how to tank a franchise like the Cubs were, because the Cubs were the laughing stock for the longest time. Hell, they didn't win a World Series for over 100 goddamn years. They are the laughing stock, and now you look at this nucleus of young talent. I think Javier Baez has his huge breakout year this year. Wilson Contreras, we already saw him. I think he takes the next leap into the top three catchers in the MLB. And then Kyle Schwarber. The man has lost 30 pounds. Schwarber is skinny. Watch the hell out. He has been raking in preseason. I think he has a big year. And I like the Chicago Cubs to win more games than they won last year. They only won 92. I'm taking the over for 94.5. And I think the Cubs win the NL Central and will be one of my favorite teams heading into the postseason this year. Heading into that number two spot in the NL Central is the St. Louis Cardinals, and the St. Louis Cardinals finished last year with a record of 83-79. They got an over-under of 85.5, so like I said, Vegas is expecting big things out of the NL Central this year. The Cardinals, they are a team that I am looking for, because we all know the Cardinal way seemed like the rightest way. It seemed like they're in the playoffs in every single World Series year after year after year. They had a little bit of a skid, but I think they returned to the playoffs this year getting more than 85 wins because they added a big bat to the lineup. Marcell Ozuna coming over from the Miami Marlins. He's going to be huge right there in the middle of that lineup. They also bring in Luke Gregerson to bring their new closer. They did lose Lance Lynn, but you want to talk about a staff that has the potential to be one of the best in baseball. Carlos Martinez is an ace, no doubt about it. You got to see if Michael Wacha can stay consistent in that number two spot, but he might lose that number two spot because Luke Weaver, not Jared Weaver's brother or son, Luke Weaver came up last year and absolutely dealt. They also got a top prospect, Alex Reyes, who is waiting in the farm system. Those are three potential aces for the St. Louis Cardinals, so that's a lot of pitching, and you want to talk about more breakout players. Paul DeJong was hitting bombs last year at shortstop. I think he has another big year. Tony Pham is one of the top prospects. Jose Martinez. This is a St. Louis Cardinals team, which it seems like always is stacked with tons of prospects, and I do think that they win more than 85 games this year, and I do see them getting in that number one wildcard spot right next to the Cubs as they win the NL Central, and then might be joining them in the wild card. Hell, I might have too many wild card teams to pick from because the Milwaukee Brewers are out here making moves. Yes, you heard me right. The Milwaukee Brewers, who finished 86-76 last year, over under has been set at 84.5 this year by Vegas. I don't know how Vegas is expecting them to lose more games than it did last year because they added Lorenzo Cain and they added Christian Yelich. Those are two huge pieces in your outfield. Those are two huge bats to surround Ryan Braun and Eric Thames. But the big question mark for the Milwaukee Brewers is, do they have the pitching? Their ace, Jimmy Nelson, is hurt. He probably won't be back until about All-Star break. Zach Davis and Chase Anderson did throw well last year, and their top prospect, Brandon Woodruff, has officially made the rotation, so that's another big prospect to look out for in fantasy leagues. And if we're talking about prospects, let's go ahead and talk about the two rebuilding teams in this division. I'm talking about the Cincinnati Reds and the Pittsburgh Pirates. The Cincinnati Reds finished last year with 69-94 record. Their over-under this year is set at 73.5. We all know Joey Votto is an MVP candidate and can rake at any time of the day. He can walk better than anybody. He just needs to take that bat off of his shoulder and actually swing it. Billy Hamilton, everybody's been waiting for the breakout season forever, it seems like. The fastest man in the league. They do have a top prospect, Nick Senzel, playing third base. They do got some young talent, but the Pittsburgh Pirates are really the team I want to talk about. A team that got rid of their face of their franchise, Andrew McCutchen. A team that got rid of their number one starting pitcher, Gerrit Cole. What are they going to do? What's going on with this fire sale? I don't understand it. I guess they're trying to make a new face of the franchise in Josh Bell. He's got the type of power at first base to hit 30-plus home runs a year. Can Starling Marte bounce back after dealing with his PED suspensions? I don't know, but one thing I'm looking forward to is top prospect Austin Meadows making his debut for the Pirates this year. He'll probably get up around All-Star break. There's a lot of young talent in this division, but at the end of the day, I think it really is a two or three horse race just between the Cubs, the Cardinals, and potentially the Brewers can be the surprise team this year. I will take all of them on the over and all the rebuilding teams on the under. As simple as that. As we move on finally to the East Coast, the Beast Coast. And we'll start off with the NL, the Washington Nationals, who went 97-65 last year and, of course, lost to the Chicago Cubs in the NLDS. Their over-under is set at 92.5 games. They won 97 last year, so it makes sense that they should be able to at least win 92 this year, right? But we don't know. Just like Washington fans don't know if this is going to be the last year for Bryce Harper. Is it time for the national man to move on to greener pastures? As all the rumors are coming out of the 2019 free agency class that is absolutely stacked with Bryce Harper and Manny Machado. Is this his last year in Washington? I think that's going to be a big storyline to see. They lost Jason Worth, but try to replace that power with Matt Adams. Victor Robles is their top prospect in the outfield, but he doesn't really have a spot to play right now unless Bryce Harper leaves next year. We all know about this pitching staff with Max Scherzer and Steven Strasburg, probably the best 1-2 combo in all of baseball. The Washington Nationals seem like they're in contention every single year. Seems like Sports Illustrated picks them to win the World Series every single year, and it seems like every single year they get eliminated in the division series. Yes, they can never make it out of the first round, so it seems like they might be cursed a little bit. I don't know. I don't see them making the big moves to make it to the World Series this year, even though, like I said, Sports Illustrated picked them to win the World Series. Once again, I do think that they win more than 92 games and win that NL East division, but I do not see them have too much success in the playoffs. But hey, prove me wrong, Strasburg and Scherzer, you can win pretty much two games every single game of the week. Moving on in that division, I like the New York Mets. Yes, 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 hear me out. I know they only went 70-92 last year. They're over under a set, 81, and I think they get more than that. Like I mentioned earlier in this podcast, if you win about 85 games, you got a chance to be in the playoffs. 2017, we talked about how bad it was for the San Francisco Giants. It used to be worse for where the San Francisco Giants used to play in New York for the New York Mets, because they had an injury plagued 2017 season, lost David Wright instantly. Cespedes was dealing with injuries, lost their best rookie, Michael Conforto, towards the end of the year. Syndergaard went down, DeGrom went down, everybody went down. But as you heard in this preview, the Kings of Queen New York are back. Whatever the hell they said. They got everybody back. They're healthy. They did add Todd Frazier. They added Jay Bruce. They even added Adrian Gonzalez. So these are some big veteran name free agencies who might be at the tail end of their careers, but can still provide a big bat for this lineup. They got Ahmad Rosario at shortstop, their top prospect. I think the Mets, with this pitching staff coming back, led by Syndergaard and DeGrom, I think they got a chance to potentially be a wild card team. I will have them in contention, and I have them over winning more than 81 games this year. And then to finish off the NL East, it's just filled with more rebuilders. The Atlanta Braves are probably the biggest rebuilder in all of baseball, if right next to the Miami Marlins. The Braves finished last year with a 72-90 record. Their over under is at 74.5. I think they'll probably lose more than they did last year, just to be honest. I mean, they got a healthy Freddie Freeman, which is going to help out a lot, but they lost Matt Adams, lost Matt Kemp, lost R.A. Dickey. It's not even like those were key people anyways, because they weren't good last year. But they are full rebuild mode. They got top prospects. Their second baseman, Ozzie Albies, he might start the year with the club, while number one prospect in baseball, Ronald Osuna, got sent down. People have compared him to be the next Mike Trout. I say slow your horses, but we'll see if this guy gets pulled up this year. I'm sure he will have a great season. They're going to try to keep an extra year on that contract, so he'll be up in a month or two. But those are definitely two rookies to look out for in the NL Rookie of the Year race. Moving on to the Miami Marlins, who actually won 77 games last year, lost 85. Their over under dropped all the way to 64.5, and that's because they lost their face of the franchise, Giancarlo Stanton. I just want to say thank you, Captain Jeter. Now batting for the Yankees, number two, Derek Jeter. Number two. Or should I say, still batting for the Yankees, because man, oh man, what a hookup. The Yankees didn't even have to trade their top prospects, but like I said, Jeter is clearing a house. He's trying to turn the Marlins into the South Florida version of the Yankees somehow, and rebuilding from the get-go, trading Giancarlo Stanton, trading Christian Yelich, trading Marcelo Ozuna. I mean, the only big-name all-star he got back was Starlin Castro. He'll be hitting in the three-hole for them, but they did get Lewis Brinson. He's their top prospect. He was big in that Christian Yelich trade. He's going to be hitting leadoff, playing in his home state of Florida. I think he has a good year and could be one of the NL Rookie of the Year candidates. But besides that, the Marlins don't have too much to look forward to. Moving on to the Phillies, though, this is one of the teams that got a lot of things to look forward to. I mentioned the A's and their ability to hit the long ball and how they could be a surprise team but not make the playoffs. The Philadelphia Phillies are right there with them in that perspective. They went 66-96 last year, and they're over-under set at 75.5. So, yes, Vegas thinks they're going to be a whole 10 games better next year, and I think it's because of Ryan Hoskin. This guy came up and absolutely smothered the ball. I had him in two of my league-winning fantasy baseball team championship teams. Ryan Hoskin was an absolute beast. He can straight crush the ball. He's one of the best late-season pickups for you last year in fantasy. He's going to be one of the top guys drafted off the board this year. I think Ryan Hoskin has a big breakout year. If you don't even want to consider last year a breakout year, because he's going to hit even more bombs this year. And you talk about Aaron Nola. He's got the potential to be an ace. I think he has a breakout year moving into top 10 pitchers. They added Carlos Santana. That's a big veteran leadership move. They're trying to influence some of these young guys on the roster, because Scott Kingery, all-around utility man, one of the top prospects, just got a big extension from the Philadelphia Phillies. So he'll make the MLB roster and start it off. They also got J.P. Crawford, shortstop. These Philadelphia Phillies are trying to finally get back from when they were the oldest team after they lost the World Series to the New York Yankees back in the day. I think it will be sooner rather than later, just not soon enough still to be this year. But let's go ahead and talk about this New York Yankees, because we've already mentioned them so many times about who's played them when, who's done what moves. Thank you, Captain Jeter. Well, let's go ahead and get into the full spiel as we move on to the AL East. And surprise, surprise, I am picking the New York Yankees to win the AL East. They finished last year with a record of 91-71. Lost a heartbreaking Game 7 to the Astros in the ALCS. Their over-under this year is set at 94.5. So Vegas is expecting to be three games better than they were last year. I think Giancarlo Stanton is no doubt going to account for three games better than we were last year, because the New York Yankees, number one in home runs last year, 241 home runs last year, led all of baseball right ahead of the Houston Astros and right behind the Houston Astros in second for RBIs, second in runs. I'm telling you, these baby bombers can drop dick. Aaron Judge, Gary Sanchez, Greg Bird, the news just came out that he actually had to get something taken out of his ankle, him and his foot injuries. He's got bird legs. I'm not even joking around on that one. But once Greg Bird comes back, he's another guy who can hit 30-plus bombs in his lineup. And then you add Giancarlo Stanton, the National League MVP, not just the former MVP, but he literally just won the MVP trophy after, what, hitting 50, 60 goddamn bombs. The two of them together, Aaron Judge and Stanton, could probably hit 100 bombs at least. And then the guy who will have the highest batting average out of all of them is Gary Sanchez. Yes, I think Gary Sanchez will have a better year than Aaron Judge and Giancarlo Stanton. It might sound crazy right now, but if you look at the actual numbers from when Gary Sanchez got called up, when he was healthy, and his numbers compared to Aaron Judge's game by game, Sanchez's numbers are way better. He's a way better average hitter, and he can drop dick. We saw what he did knocking out Giancarlo Stanton in the home run derby last year, so Aaron Judge didn't even have to knock him out. But these Yankees can hit the long ball, no doubt about it. Got a brand new coach, Aaron Boone, who's going to have a lot of fun setting that lineup. Probably have Brett Gardner lead the table as always. Probably one of the best leadoff men in all of baseball. I'd put Judge in the two hole, then go Stanton, then go Sanchez. And then once Bird gets healthy, obviously you start stacking the numbers right there. Then you want to talk about more power on the way. Third baseman Miguel Andujar has been tearing up in spring training. They sent him back down to AAA though. And then the Yankees also sent their number one prospect back down to AAA. That's Gleyber Torres. Yes, we got him in the Rolas Chapman trade before we got Chapman back. Gleyber is going to be one of the future pieces at shortstop, at second base, or even third base, because we all know Didi Gregorius is playing shortstop right now. Didi could potentially move over to second base to make room, because obviously traded Starlin Castro. But I think Gleyber will eventually be up, and I'm excited to see what he can do. And then there's also the outfielder prospect, Clint Frazier. The Yankees got so many prospects, so much talent in their farm system, and then so much talent on the actual field. It didn't matter if they lost Starlin Castro, Todd Frazier, Michael Pineda, and Matt Holliday. They just replaced them with young up-and-comers. I mean, God, the Yankees are stacked. Like I said, a lot of people are picking them to win the World Series. I still think the Astros are the team to beat. But the one thing that the Yankees have better than the Astros is the bullpen. I honestly think they got the best bullpen in all of baseball. Aroldis Chapman holding out a ninth inning, of course. Then you got Dylan Betances, who's had over 100 strikeouts every single year, has been an all-star every year of his career. David Robinson, who used to be our former setup man from Mariano Rivera back in the day, is one of the best setup man. He could be a closer on probably half the teams. I guarantee you he'd be the closer for the San Francisco Giants in a heartbeat. Tommy Canley would be his closer. Chad Green would be a closer on these San Francisco teams. This is a stacked bullpen where they can literally line up five innings at a time and go at it. Chad Green could be moved up to the starting rotation, but for now, he's our long relief guy. That is huge. I think if he can come in and just shut shit down, this is one of the best bullpens in baseball. The Yankees got a great starting rotation also. Luis Severino finished top three in the Cy Young voting last year. We all know about Tanaka's ups and downs last year, but we saw in the playoffs, Tanaka time was in full force. He was shutting everybody down. And Sonny Gray, I think he has another big bounce back season. CeCe was dealing in the playoffs last year. Mr. Consistent. If CeCe somehow tapped into that Bartolo Colon playbook where it doesn't matter how old or fat you can get, you can still strike guys out, I'm all for it. CeCe, keep on throwing it. Keep on holding down and repping the Raiders out there in Oakland, doing it for the Bay Area. But yeah, this is a rotation. Severino, top three Cy Young. Tanaka, if he's on, he pitches like a Cy Young. They got pitching, they got bullpen, and they got bombs. And that's why I'm picking the New York Yankees to win more than 94.5 games and to win the AL East. But to do it, the Baby Bombers will have to knock off the Baby Teabaggers. Yes, you heard me. The Baby Teabaggers, the Boston Red Sox, who finished 93-69 last year, were the winners of the AL East but ended up losing to the Astros in the ALDS. Their over-under this year is set at 91.5 games, and these Baby Teabaggers are, as much as I hate to say, a great youthful franchise just like the New York Yankees, because you want to compare Judge, Sanchez, and Bird. Go ahead. The Boston Red Sox will line up Mookie Betts, Andrew Benintendi, and Rafael Devers. Devers stepped up last year after being called up, and he was just raking the ball. We all saw what he did. He was able to turn around and hit a bomb off of Aroldis Chapman, 105-mile-per-hour fastball. It was literally on the screen. It said, Chapman has never given up a home run to a lefty. Next thing you know, Devers took him deep. So these Baby Teabaggers are right up there with the Baby Bombers. Plus, as I mentioned, they added J.D. Martinez, because one thing that these Teabaggers couldn't do was hit the long ball. They had one of the highest averages, hit a bunch of hits, RBIs, but no one was leaving the yard from last year, which I don't know how in that little goddamn sandbox ballpark they play in. People want to talk about the dimensions at Yankee Stadium. God damn, the pesky pole and just hitting pop flies off the Green Monster. You should be able to rake all day there, like we've seen David Ortiz do for so goddamn long. But they added J.D. Martinez to fill in the void of David Ortiz and hit all those bombs. I think this year, J.D. Martinez probably doesn't do as good as he did last year. I mean, he had a career year, but then again, the baseballs were juiced, right? Who knows the true story? Who knows if J.D. Martinez can be consistent? I still got the Boston Red Sox winning more than 91 games, getting that over. I think they will definitely be a wild card team. The Yankees and the Red Sox will probably both be in the playoffs. One a wild card, one a division winner, obviously. The biggest question mark for the Red Sox is going to be pitching. They were fourth last year in team ERA overall, but Chris Sale, just like Madison Bumgarner, took a line drive off the hand. Is he going to be ready? David Price, coming back from elbow injuries, decided to opt out and not take the Tommy John surgery. If them two are healthy, they're right up there with the Mets, right up there with the Astros, right up there with the Dodgers, right up there with the Nationals, with the top 1-2 pitching staff in all of baseball, but that's the biggest question mark. And then the bullpen. Craig Kimbrell, he's been dealing with some family issues this year, but if he's smart, if he's all there, he's one of the top closers in baseball. I think this is going to be an interesting division battle all year long between the Red Sox and the Yankees. Hell, they're even going to go out to London and play each other. This is the best rivalry in baseball, best rivalry in sports, if you ask me, and I can't wait for it. This is going to be a huge year in the AL East. And let's go ahead and wrap up the AL East. The Baltimore Orioles, as I mentioned, this could be the last year for big names, not just Bryce Harper, but also Manny Machado, who has made his move to shortstop this year after the Orioles were pretty disgraceful last year. Did finish 75-87, and were a top five team in home runs and hits, but they literally had the worst pitching staff in all of baseball last year. Machado would try to score more runs this year, but I think that he is honestly going to be a future Yankee holding down third base. Or hey, maybe he plays shortstop. Kleber could play second or third. I don't know what they do there, but the Puerto Rican sensation would look great in pinstripes. Adam Jones, as I mentioned, is also going to be a free agent last year. The Baltimore Orioles, what are you going to do with your franchise players if you do not re-sign them? You will no longer be top five in hits and home runs, I'll tell you that. And as I mentioned, Dylan Bundy, this pitching staff, could it get any worse? Dylan Bundy was a high prospect, a top pick. He's got to try to become the ace of this franchise. They did try to add Alex Cobb and Andrew Cashner, but I really don't think they're going to do too much at all. A couple youngins, I like Trey Mancini, and Austin Hayes is another outfield prospect for the Orioles. They're going to be a team who can hit bombs. Everybody in the AL East can hit bombs, but I don't see them making moves, and I don't think they'll make the playoffs this year, and I see them losing both Manny Machado next year and Adam Jones. Man, oh man, what a difficult time, and we might have to bring back the Baltimore Riots for that one, but let's go ahead and finish off this AL East. with the rebuilders. That's the Tampa Bay Rays and the Toronto Blue Jays. Some people actually think the Toronto Blue Jays might have a chance. They only won 76 games, lost 86 last year. They're over under a set, 81.5, but they lost Jose Bautista. Troy Tulowitzki is dealing with an ankle injury. Hell, their photographer doesn't even know if he's a pitcher or a shortstop or whatever, but Tulo's not going to be back until a while. Josh Donaldson, I think he gets traded. I honestly do. This is the last year that Toronto Blue Jays have control of his contract, and they got to just try to reload for the future because, what, they bring in Curtis Granderson and Solarte, like that's going to put him over the edge? No, you still don't got pitching. You got Marcus Stroman, who's got the potential to be an ace. But hell, you didn't even pay him this offseason. You guys were going back and forth and said he wasn't worth the money. So I don't think Marcus Stroman stays. He's another guy who would look good in a pinstripe pitch for the Yankees. I think the Toronto Blue Jays are falling apart as an organization. They're going to be in full sell mode, get as many prospects as they can because they already got help on the way. I'm sure everybody saw the highlight this past weekend from spring training. Vladimir Guerrero Jr. hit a walk-off home run in Toronto wearing number 27, the same number as his dad. One of the coolest moments of spring training. Vlad actually said he remembers going to that stadium as a kid when his dad played as the Montreal Expo. He got there and was looking for the ice cream machine and everything. It's a great store, and he is one of the top prospects in all of baseball. The thing is, he's only 19 years old. But this kid can drop dick just like his daddy did. This man can swing it, and man, oh man, I can't wait till he gets called up. We saw Michael Trout his first year. He got called up when he was 19, got sent back down, and people were like, oh, he got called up when he was 20. No, he actually called up 19, got sent down, called back up. Maybe Vladimir Guerrero could be one of those 19-year-olds that get pulled up. Like I said, I don't see the Toronto Blue Jays winning anywhere close to 81 games this year. I'm taking the under on that. So they could be in full tank mode the second half of the season. And why not bring up Vlad? You already saw how big of a fan base, how everyone went crazy when he hit the walk-off. I think that Vlad Guerrero is going to be the future of this franchise. So call him up as soon as you can. And then you talk about a shortstop, Bo Bichetti. That's another man who was in the on-deck circle where Vlad hit that walk-off. Those are two cornerstone pieces for the Toronto Blue Jays. If they keep Troy Tulowitzki, trade him too while you're at it. Tulo's going to be gone. Josh Donaldson's going to be gone. Everybody's going to be gone. And I think the Toronto Blue Jays are going to be in full tank mode to end the season. And that is every single division breakdown, winners, rebuilders, prospects. Let's go ahead and recap it for you. In the NL West, I've got the Los Angeles Dodgers winning the division. In the AL West, I'm taking the Houston Astros to win more than 96 games and repeat as division winners. In the AL Central, I'm taking the Cleveland Indians to win a division once again. In the NL Central, I'm taking the Chicago Cubs to win the division once again. And then the AL East, I'm taking the Yankees. In the NL East, I'm taking the Nationals. And then my wild card teams. I'm telling you, in the AL, I like the Twins and the Red Sox. In the NL, I like the Cardinals. And I will give some hope to Giants fans out there and say, potentially, if not, you might get your spot taken by the Colorado Rockies. But if they can be average while Madison Bumgarner is out, I think that they got a chance for that number two spot. Hell, maybe even the Brewers sneak in there. Like I said, there are a lot of teams that could come out of nowhere, could play surprise, could play spoiler. We don't know because it's baseball and anything can happen in baseball. And that's why I fucking love baseball. It's the best sport out there. I will argue anybody on that. If you want to say, oh, it's not entertaining. It's not, it's boring. Oh, it's too slow. Oh, change the pace of plays rules. Ah, fuck you. Stay out of my stadium. I don't need your fencing down the foul line. I don't need any of your suggestions to make baseball better. Baseball is already the best sport in America. It's America's pastime. Hell, there's only one sport where there's no time limit. You can't just take a knee and hope that the other team doesn't score. Don't give them the ball back. No. Ninth inning, the other team's got three outs. You got to throw that ball over the plate. You got to make them swing. We can't just wait for the time to run out. Nah, you got to play. You got to win. And that's baseball, baby. And that's the 2018 MLB season preview right here on the Bays Golden Days podcast. But before I rant too long about the greatest sport in the country, let me wrap this up with my World Series picks. I gave you my playoff winners. I gave you my top prospects. Hell, MVP picks. Surprise, surprise. Michael Trout, Bryce Harper. Nah, that's not even really that interesting. MVP, Gary Sanchez of the New York Yankees. MVP, Cody Bellinger of the Los Angeles Dodgers. Yes, you heard it first. I'm throwing out there hot takes. These are my bold predictions for AL and NL MVP. I got Cody Bellinger and Gary Sanchez as the MVPs. We'll see how those sophomore slumps do. As for my World Series picks, I'm going right back to the Yankees, baby. I got the Yankees and the Cubbies meeting in the finals. Yes, I think the Cubs get back into the World Series. I think the Yankees get in, the two biggest bombers in the league. I think this will be one hell of a matchup. And, of course, I'm taking the New York Yankees to win the World Series. I said it. They got about three or four teams in front of them right now. But to be the best, you got to beat the best. And I think the Yankees will be the best team in the 2018 MLB season. You heard it first right here on the Bays Golden Days podcast, baby. Thank you for listening. Thank you for downloading. Thank you for subscribing on iTunes, on Google Play, on SoundCloud, on Spotify, however you get your podcast these days. You can follow us on social media, on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, MySpace, Skype, LinkedIn, whatever the hell you use for social media these days. We are at Bays Golden Days. Stay up to tune. Check us out every week. You can get the instant podcast on the website, bgdsports.com. I'm Marcus Boucher. Thank you once again for listening. And until we come back with all this baseball news, you know what it is, baby. It's the Bay Area. We golden.
Golden. Golden. Golden. Golden.
Stay gold, pony boy. Stay.